lost to ignorance and confusion. Three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they fell off a cliff. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Bill,
and Janice.
Good evening and welcome to Song Talk Radio for this Tuesday, January 26, 2016, streaming to you live from CJRU, the Scope at Ryerson, in beautiful, sunny, warm Toronto, Canada. We had, what, 6 degrees the other day?
Oh, it's
beautiful here. It's Who Needs to Go South? Song Talk is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. They can be fresh newbies or established professionals. Together we share tips, techniques and cool things found, and together we all become a little bit better at writing songs. That's the plan. I am your host, Bruce Harrett, and joining me tonight, the usual crowd, the intrepid members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team, the core crowd, the fabulous Phil Emery.
That's me, present and accounted for.
The notorious Neil Modi.
Yipper skipper.
And I'm afraid our lovely and talented Janice Ho is away on assignment tonight. Don't forget, we love to hear from you, so please send us your thoughts, complaints, corrections, and recipes too. feedback@songtalk.ca. And you can find us on Twitter at Songtalk Radio or by using the hashtag Songtalk. During the show, please send us your thoughts. We'll share them in real time, not fake time, real time, in real live. As live as we can be, anyway. So we're also on Facebook and YouTube at Song Talk Radio, and now via the iTunes podcast directory. So if you like the show, please give us a review there, and that helps us get noticed. And then people are browsing iTunes, and they say, ooh, that sounds good. So also stop by our website at songtalk.ca. You can find out a lot of information there, like our resources page, where you can learn about all kinds of things that you might like to know as a songwriter. And you can find out how to be a guest on our show. And speaking of guests, we have one tonight. He is a singer-songwriter from Madrid, now living in Toronto. He played in bands in Madrid and around Madrid, and he's now writing songs on his own, both on guitar and on the piano, and he promises very soon on the ukulele. Yeehaw! Please welcome to Song Talk Radio, Daniel Cáceres.
Hi, thank you so much.
Welcome, Daniel.
Welcome. So we're going to start things off with, just before we go to a little bit about your background, we invite people to send in stuff to the show to ask us questions and comments. And Phil has a comment from somebody.
Of course, we've got to send out to Janice.
Janice.
Our tweeter, who's homesick today.
Yeah.
So, Janice, get better. We miss you. It's a very empty schedule without you. Right, so we got one email from Henry. Hi, I love the show. Wrote a review on iTunes, but it didn't show up.
Oh.
Is something wrong?
Oh.
That's a question for Apple.
Call
that.
Well, actually, no. It turns out you need a certain number of reviews before they actually show up.
Oh. What's that number?
So, I am not sure, but apparently it's more than three.
Okay.
So
get out there and review this.
Yes.
Okay. So please, everyone, review us.
Yes, please do. So nothing is wrong. Okay, and then we have another one from, I think the name is Karine. Hello, Song Talk Radio. Great show. I've learned a great amount so far. I've been running into an issue over and over again, and I'm hoping you can send some suggestions on how to deal with this. I've been working on a song for a bit. It's all going great. But then I hit a wall on something like the second verse, and my head is totally empty. Hmm. All my original inspiration is gone. I get stuck and I can't get up. How do I dig out?
Well, that's really interesting because before the show started, Daniel said he was stuck on his second verse on one of the songs.
Well, that happens to me, too.
Yeah.
It's, and I don't.
So what do you do, Daniel? Yeah. You just keep plugging away?
I would recommend just forgetting the song for a week or maybe a month if it's like a very difficult thing, and then take it again. And I think it will give her a new point of view.
Yeah, that's true. You can always move on to something else and come back to it later.
My theory is it's sort of a Buddhist thing for me. I don't know if it's Buddhist, but anyway, the Buddhists talk about how if something's really, really difficult and it shouldn't be that difficult, then maybe you should just go around. You know, like they say, mm. that water goes around a rock. So just go around. Like write two choruses instead of two verses, and then maybe the chorus will become a verse, right? Yeah. just do something else, right? Because I think sometimes psychologically we go, this is what I want. I want this verse now. And the mind doesn't work like that, yeah. right? It's yeah, temperamental. That's
true. Well, I mean, I certainly notice that that happens yeah. to me very often when I'm working on a song, and it's, you know, I have a lot of initial inspiration, and I think, oh, this whole song will be easy to write. But then after you work on it for a while and you're trying to clean stuff up, and then it's just, it's totally empty.
Yeah.
So I think the thing, one thing I think that I'm trying to start to do is when I have that inspiration is just do a brain dump on a piece of paper and you write down every little bit of inspiration and words and phrases and you don't care about what they are. You're just dumping everything that's in your brain.
Yeah.
And then when you're working that out, you can kind of grasp those little things.
Yeah, what do you do?
When I get stuck like that, yeah, often I'll just revisit it later or... You know, or like you say, like just you just have to acknowledge that maybe the song didn't want that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe,
yeah.
maybe it didn't belong anyway. So you just
don't force it.
Don't force it. Just try and do something else inventive in it.
Also, I think another good way is if you listen to music you haven't listened to normally. Like if you listen to country all the time, listen to pop or rock or heavy metal,
right? Death metal.
And, yeah. Just well, actually, anything different because it brings some new inspiration to your brain.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then it changes your brain.
Yeah, yeah. Pay attention to how they're using phrases.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
sometimes that can just get stuck as opposed to just not doing it.
Or you can even revisit music that you love and know, and just revisit it with that question in mind.
Yeah.
Like how did they move from verse one to verse two?
Yeah. Right?
And,
I mean, is
and,
it?
And you may not have thought of your favorite song in that angle before, but. Maybe that'll prompt
I also had something. I spent my life as a professional writer writing for corporations and stuff. So I had deadlines all the time. So I could not have writer's block. I was, you know, I'd starve. You know? So I had this thing I call write a bad first draft.
Yeah.
So it gave me permission that first draft, much like you were saying, Phil, just get it all on paper. And nobody's watching. No one's going to read it but you. It doesn't have to land in perfect verses with rhyme. That's very rare that happens anyway. Just do a bad first draft of the song. And actually, once you're free to do a bad first draft, you'll probably do a better first draft, right? You take away all the overthinking.
Yeah, that's true. You can actually just put down something that's bad and then go over it and fix it and tweet it and tweak it as you need to. But yeah, it's good to know that other people have the same issues that I have.
So how about you, Daniel? Do you get stuck very often or do you write songs fairly easily?
No, I get stuck very often.
Really?
And what I do is just record on my phone like every possible solution. And I have
every possible.
Every possible. And I have like a bunch of little recordings about like 10 seconds and then I just use one or two and the rest I just delete them.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not good at that. I'm like there's a lot of times people say things that go, wow, that'd be a great lyric.
Yeah.
But I don't write it down. And you you're not gonna remember that stuff, you know?
It's hard to.
Yeah.
So tell us, speaking of how you write songs, so what do you start with? What's your inspiration, your first thing you record or put down or whatever?
It changes through the songs, but most of the times I start with chord progressions, and then I try to write little arrangements, and then try to write a melody that goes well with those little arrangements, then write the lyrics. I think it's like the opposite way that it has to be.
No. Phil writes the same way. Lyrics last.
Oh yeah.
I'm a lyricist, so I always write lyrics first.
I'm somewhere in the middle. Sometimes I write the lyric first. Sometimes I write it
and
last.
And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
But
I write everything, literally everything. The instrumentation, the arrangements, everything. And that the last thing I do is lyrics, and it's so painful because at that point, you know, that original inspiration is kind of. You know, like two months ago.
Man, you got to write the lyric first.
Or get a collaborator.
Just do it. Yeah. Well, actually, I've been working with a collaborator. It's a great way of expanding your options, you know? Good.
So you start with a chord progression. Then you start to hear a melody. But before the chord progression, do you start with an idea for the song? Or does it come from the chord progression?
Yes.
What?
The last thing, yeah. I sometimes just play random things on piano.
And if it sounds cool, it's
And if it sounds cool, then I keep it, and then I think, what kind of idea can that
What does it represent or inspire, maybe?
Yeah, like, could this be a sad song or a happy song or a very specific song about something? I don't know.
So do you ever have an idea for a lyric outside of any music that you've written? I'm not saying you write the lyric, but you just have an idea. I want the song to be about, you know, red velvet curtains or something.
Yes. Actually, the last song, the third song I'm going to play, I had the idea long before I had the music, yeah.
Right.
And the first thing I had was the chorus and the lyrics for the chorus.
Okay.
That it was like the complete opposite way of doing it, like I usually do.
So you shake it up sometimes. It's random, so
yeah,
you keep yourself fresh that way.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. Yes. It's just how it happens. I don't have rules.
Right. And we're all excited to hear the last song tonight because Daniel wrote the second verse to that just a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
because it just wasn't working. Like our friend who wrote in asking for advice, and when you get stuck on the second verse, you were actually stuck on the second verse.
Yeah,
It's not. We all have that challenge, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's your what is your ambition with respect to your songwriting? Do you want to have your own band or just provide songs for yourself as a singer-songwriter?
I would love to have a band, yes. Mm-hmm. I just write songs for piano and guitar and then voice, but I always think they can use some strings or trumpets, but I don't know how to play violins or trumpets. So, yeah, I would like to have some people to help me and just add their talent to the songs.
Do you have a recording system within your computer? Like, what's it called?
GarageBand or something?
That's an older one, right? Do you have anything where you can add instruments electronically and all that?
Yes, I have, but
not yet.
It doesn't feel good. doing it with MIDI, it doesn't feel good.
Okay. MIDI means putting in a sample things and then throwing them in.
Yes.
So you want a more authentic sound off the floor, like a live sound?
I would love to.
Organic.
Yeah, to have people performing it live.
Yeah.
Not just me trying to do trumpets with a computer or something like that, because I don't think that works, because every instrument is different, and I just know guitar and piano, so I wouldn't know how to do the little tricks with the trumpets or violins or that.
Engineer, you mean. Yeah.
It can be kind of tricky.
I mean, you can do it, but it actually takes a lot of work. It's actually easier to
do. And it takes a bit of understanding how the instrument works.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. And I don't have
Neil is a drummer, and so he does great drum tracks, but he does MIDI drum tracks. But because he's a drummer, they're exceptional, right? They're good.
Good scene.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. Anytime.
Should we hear a song?
Let's hear a song. Would you like to do a first song?
Yes.
This one is called
Premonition.
Premonition. Yeah. Okay. Premonition. Interesting title. So we don't need an introduction. I'll just introduce you. This is Daniel Catharis singing Premonition.
Last night I hit my head with the corner of a shelf. I thought it wasn't serious, but in a minute I felt unconscious. I saw my future there. To my surprise, you weren't there. And so, in case you're wondering, that's the reason why. Stupid to see it may seem to you. That's the only reason why. You say you don't believe in premonitions. I said I won't mistrust my intuition. In the morning my way to tell my friends when suddenly I'm struck by regret. What if I'm one to blame? No, I'm not a person, I'm a amazing. So in case you're wondering, that's the reason why stupid seed may seem to you, that's the only reason why. You say you don't believe in premonitions. I said I won't mistrust my intuitions.
Nice little ending.
Lovely.
There. Lovely surprise ending. Out of the Dada Dodos.
Yeah.
I love Dada Dodos. It's just a nice break from all the words.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So I noticed that you you have an A-B-A-B style there. I guess you could say verse, chorus, yeah. Verse, chorus. And it was really interesting to me because your chorus was actually very soft and subtle. And the verses were a little more out there, right? Which is opposite of most songs, right? You know, because it was like, as night I hit my head. And the chorus starts so softly. So in case you're wondering.
I wouldn't say that's the chorus.
Yeah, I was just saying, I think the chorus is you say you don't believe in premonition.
Yeah, I would say that's the chorus. Is only two. It's like a really little
refrain,
chorus.
Two-line refrain. Okay, just
but, I mean, would that be the... Well, that seems like a pre-chorus. Because, I mean, to me it felt like a chorus too, but maybe more of a pre-chorus.
So in case you're wondering, it's the prelude to... So the full refrain is, you say you don't believe in premonition, I say I won't mistrust my intuition. Well, that's kind of the
it's sort of verse, pre-chorus, chorus.
Maybe you can think about it as verse, chorus, post-chorus, if you want to see it like
that. You can look at
it
that way, too.
I like it. Anyway, I like the song very much, and I like your play on words, the premonition, intuition. If I was going to rewrite it with you, the only thing I'd do is I would find something to replace the repeat, you know. That's the reason why. That's the only reason why. And then that's the reason why. That's the only reason why. I just thought adding the only doesn't really lift it anywhere and doesn't add much to it to me. I mean, it's okay to repeat things, of course, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like a very strong lyric to repeat. But that's just my opinion.
Maybe
it's interesting. That didn't bother me. Usually that kind of thing does bother me. But that sort of actually worked for me because if the complete line was repeated, then that would be repeated. But because it's sort of, you know, in case you're wondering, that's the reason why. Stupid as it may, it seems to you, that's the reason why.
I wanted a rhyme.
Well, that's
true.
That is the interesting thing about that whole section is that because you end both lines with the same word, why, it's not technically a rhyme.
No, it is.
Right? It's just a repetition.
It's
but
a
what,
trick.
But what it does, but because the only rhyme you really have in the entire song is premonition and intuition.
Oh. Right.
There's no other rhymes in the whole song. So if you were to have introduced a rhyme there, if you went why and then try, then that may have felt more like a chorus at that point. I
thought the verses had rhymes.
You can look at it. See, the funny thing is people come on our show, Daniel, and they find out things about their songs they had no idea were there, like deep meanings and strange rhyme schemes. And Because, of course, we don't examine our songs so closely.
No.
Yeah, usually we just write them and then move on to something else.
I like that when there's no rhyme. It's free verse, kind of, and then you get a rhyme on the hit.
I know? Have Serious and Unconscious. Does that rhyme?
That's a partial rhyme.
Yeah.
Is that what's known as a soft rhyme? Or
Regret, Mess, sort of.
Of course, that's a stretch.
You could be looking up at Rhyme Genie, Rhyme Genie app and figuring that out.
Yeah. I mean, they're softer rhymes. They're
in Spain,
rhymes.
We have like two kinds of rhymes.
Yeah,
like full rhyme and
there are
only vowels rhyme.
Yeah, we have the same.
More or less, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's
something
cool.
Like that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
One of the things I really liked about this song, the way you started out, I like the fact that you picked on the first verse, then you went to the strum on the when you repeated the verse, or when you did the other verse. But I liked the flow of the melody. Mm. It was very interesting how you last night I hit my head with the corner of the shelf, I. And then your next phrase is, thought it wasn't serious. So you left... You broke up the melody in a different spot than the lyric broke.
Yes, I like doing
that. Which is an interesting technique. And you did that right up until what I'm calling the chorus. You say you don't believe in premonition, right? So you had that really nice flow, and then you say you don't believe in premonition. I say I wouldn't mistrust my intuition. You changed almost everything there. You changed the guitar strumming pattern. You brought in the perfect rhyme, and the melody changed. So it was a very, but it wasn't. It didn't really hit you too jarring. Like it still fit.
Yeah.
Right. But it's a great shift that you make there.
And it felt more like a development rather than sort of
a different song
change.
Or something.
Yeah.
And for somebody who's working in a second language, like he's working in English, his second language, to say, I won't mistrust my intuition, right? It's like, I'm not going to mistrust.
It's a double negative, isn't it?
It's a double mistrust.
Oh. So I like it, though. I mean,
I think it's interesting. Yeah. Like, if you were going to do it really simply, you say...
Was that intentional?
You don't believe in premonition. I trust my intuition.
Yeah.
That's the flat way. But you've done it as a double negative, which is great.
That's much more interesting,
I think, interesting.
You know? I also like what you did on the melody. Because at first, I thought it was kind of jarring, you know, when you went to... I wouldn't say... last line of I say I won't mistrust my intuition, you kind of go down really low, which at first I thought was kind of sort of odd, but I really, really liked it. I mean, it's really, really it's very much of a really neat hook, you know, which is and it's actually not that common, not that common a hook, really.
There is one part where you go low in your range, and it's the only issue is that I couldn't hear the word on the recording until I saw it here. That's I'm not a person, I'm a mess, right?
Yeah.
So be careful on, if you're going to go low as a singer, you have to over-enunciate, right?
Yeah.
So you have to say, I'm a mess. I can't go low, I'm a mess.
That's a great line, though. I'm not a person, I'm a mess.
That's cool.
Well, because I think we've all been there.
But I thought you were saying, I'm a man. I'm not a person, I'm a man. Right? I'm a mess.
Maybe I have to get closer to the mic.
No, you could move that lyric. You can do the same. You're copying the downturn of intuition, right?
Yeah.
So you might take mess up rather than down, so you can hear it, because it's a great line. You wouldn't want them to miss. Miss it on the first listen.
You could just hit the S's.
Mess. Hit the S.
Because you can't, you do really soft S's, because...
Yeah, it's difficult to do low S.
Yes,
Well, I would like to hear another song, and this is a song that... by the way, you're listening to Song Talk on CJRU, the Scope at Ryerson, in case you're just checking in. We are here, and we're live, and we're podcasting later. We have with us Daniel Cáceres.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. I'm practicing my Spanish, right? Anyway, this song is one we heard originally at the Songwriters Roundtable, which we'll be talking about later here in Toronto.
Right.
And Daniel was asking for suggestions. He didn't have a title, so he got a suggestion. So you see what you think. This one's called When I Sleep.
You, you're in love with another, that's not fair. And I think you knew I was suffering from a start, but there was little you could do. sleep I get, the peace I can't get when I'm awake. When I dream I find the love I can't find. When I sleep I get, the peace I can't get when I'm awake. When I dream I take the love you don't. On the edge and over the sea, I wanted to see an end. But then you kissed my cheek, and we slept like lovers. How am I supposed to deal with it? When I sleep, I get the peace I can't get when I'm awake. When I dream, I find the love I can't find. When I sleep, I get the peace I can't get when I'm awake. When I dream, I take the love you don't. Oh.
Gorgeous song.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Oh. Thank you.
I'm all verklempt. Oh, that's a beautiful, beautiful song. Beautiful melody.
Thank you.
Yeah, gorgeous melody.
We got a tweet from Janice.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful voice, Daniel. Lots of character and emotion.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Janice. Mm-hmm. I'm actually doing tweeting tonight, so it's a little light. It's not up to Janice's standards.
Oh, it's tweet light tonight.
Tweet light. Yeah.
Tweet light. No, it's gorgeous. I mean, the first time I heard the song, I thought it was really beautiful. Then I heard the recording. And you went into a studio, you put a bit of reverb on the voice, which really brought a beautiful presence of a concert hall to it.
Oh, thank you.
I really like, first of all, it's really interesting you enunciate your words really clearly, which is really nice to hear the words, and it's not so common in pop singing, and I really like it in your singing. I could hear every word, you're pronouncing the consonants, you know. It was, anyway, just beautiful. I'll hand it over to you. I have a crush on this song, so
I mean,
just silly about this song.
It's absolutely gorgeous. Like the when I sleep, when I dream, when I sleep, what I dream. That melody is just so captivating. Mm-hmm. It flies up in the air, but it doesn't fly too high. You know what I mean? Like it's just it's gorgeous the way you ebb and come back. It was too short.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. What is the structure of the song?
It's just an A, B, A, B. It's like verse, chorus.
Once through, but you also sing it. I was noticing because Daniel sent me the chords and I tried it myself. I pushed the tempo just a bit, just to see what would happen to it. And there's room then, when you push the tempo just a touch, there's room for a bridge or an instrumental.
Well, I think there's room just to actually, with this tempo.
What I thought would have been really cool, like you did the verse, then you come into the chorus with that gorgeous, gorgeous melody. And when you come back to that melody again, I almost thought it's so tasty that I could have waited to hear it again. Like, what would have been really cool is like verse, chorus, verse, and then like a little two-line pre-chorus.
Oh,
and then
just
to give it a little bit of tease, because everyone's waiting. Even the very first time you hear the song, you're just waiting to hear that gorgeous melody again.
Oh,
and if you wait just a little bit of time, you're just going to like get people really on their...
Well, in that theory, you could have a pre-chorus the first time you hear it too. But I like the idea of adding it later.
What I would do is I'd actually add a bridge. Because I think you could use
a bridge right there. But I would put that bridge after the second verse.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, what I would do is I would do the chorus, then a bridge, and then the chorus again. You could even do the chorus twice.
What about the second verse?
Well, no, you do the second verse.
You do verse, chorus, bridge, chorus.
Bridge, and then chorus.
Oh, okay.
Because it's so strong.
The bonus of the three-time chorus.
Do you write
bridges for your songs?
Almost never.
Okay, yeah, almost never. What's your thinking?
I don't know. I really... When I write a verse, then a chorus, then a verse, and a chorus, I think it's done. Mm-hmm. I don't like my songs to be very long. Unless I think that they really need to be that long. And I don't think I'm doing it that well to push it more than three minutes and a half.
Because you have a very delicate kind of voice. So you can kind of do those kind of emotional stuff really well. And actually, I mean, you really could make this song longer, and I think you really should.
I think you're underestimating the level that you're at right now. I played that for someone the other day, and they just said, "This guy's on the radio, right? He's totally professional, right?" Yeah. So I think your skills are beyond what you think, and also your writing and your singing skills are beyond what you think. When you say, "I don't want to give too much because I don't know how well I'm doing," we're telling you that song we want more. Now, Neil, tell them about listener expectation. Well, is there kind of a rule of thumb with that?
Well, yeah, it's a difference between what I was saying and what Phil was saying, right? Yeah. If you take my
except
if you take my suggestion, then you're teasing the audience.
Yeah.
Or you're teasing your listener. If you take Phil's suggestion, you're fulfilling their expectations.
Yeah.
It's just a question of what you want to do and how you want to. Do you want to toy with your audience or don't you want to toy with your audience?
Yeah. I mean, my structure is very much a pop song. A traditional pop song, you know, like Adele and all those people, that's the kind of format they use. You know, they have a chorus which, you know, really brings people in, and they repeat that over and over again, and that can, you know,
often have a bridge, right?
Yeah, and then chorus out to the end, you know, where they're repeating the chorus, because that's what you want.
I don't think that's what this song wants, though. Yeah,
it's a sweet song, and it doesn't want to be overdone.
Yes.
I understand.
Yeah.
I wanted to add something between first chorus and second verse with more instruments, and then make the song a bit
you can do that.
Yeah,
cello, please.
Something with strings and very soft drumming.
Yeah,
and then I think I can add a bridge after that if I have enough instruments to make the bridge significant.
Because I think you can actually do a lot of stuff with a bridge just actually chord wise.
Yeah,
because
you don't have to rely on other instruments.
is quite delicate and complex. So you don't actually need like a whole bunch of other stuff. Like people say, "Oh, add cello." You don't necessarily have to do that. You can actually do. Yeah. You know, like there was not one point I ever thought I wish there was more stuff to your song.
Yeah, yeah. They say that's always the test of a true song is, can you play it with a voice and one instrument?
Yeah,
and does it still translate as a good song?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bridges now? Come on.
No, I don't.
Have you tried one in a song yet? Just to try it on for size or?
On any song?
Yeah, any song. Not so much.
No,
bridges are weird. Once you get used to them, they're a lot of fun to do.
I made one, yeah.
Yeah?
I made a song, just like a kind of a joke song, about how to write a song.
Oh.
And then I had to write a bridge because people usually write.
Yeah.
And it was like all weird chords.
Yeah.
Like, usually bridges have weird chords and
different. Yeah.
So we got a tweet in from Heather. That song is a gift. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh my
thank
God.
You, Heather. Yeah.
So I want to ask you about the end of the chorus, Daniel, because when I dream I take the love you don't, and you even wrote it on your lyric sheet ...
Yeah.
And it really leaves you hanging. And to me, Because the chorus melodically is so strong, I really wanted a resolved melody there, and you left me hanging.
I wrote one for you.
You know?
It would have.
I'm just wondering where that decision came from.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
is that? I'm assuming that was a conscious thing to sort of leave it.
It was.
Tense.
There was a word. It was the love you don't share.
Right.
But I thought it was too obvious to end the melody with the root chord.
Yes.
And I liked it.
I think it's perfect.
Yeah, like,
it just leaves it open. And
like,
Again, that's why I'm suggesting my previous suggestion, because you've already done it once. You're already toying with your listener. You're already teasing them a little bit, right? It's I'm waiting for the share. I'm waiting for the resolution that doesn't come, right? So,
but that's very much in the character of the song, because the guy who's suffering, there's no resolution.
Yeah,
we were talking about that downstairs before the show, is that if the only peace you get is when you're asleep, then your days are hell, right?
Yeah.
It's just thinking about this and suffering and you know, like, and she's with another, and oh my God. So, like, that is not a comfortable place to be. Yes. So to end it uncomfortably is just right.
You know? For me, it's like, you are stuck in one place and your mind doesn't want to go to, to move forward, then that's why the first chord is so insistent. Like it's a lot of, and then
a C and a fourth.
Yeah, it says fret. Yeah, it's an E, really.
It's an E.
It's an E, and it's very insistent, and the sound doesn't change too much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like very insistent, like a self punishment.
Well, the verses are the telling the story of the pain,
yeah.
And they're that dunga dunga dunga, and you only change the root, the bass note, a little bit, right?
Yes.
So it is, and what's really interesting is instinctively when you went to sleep, you changed the chord. It went F to the G right away. I'm talking in this position.
Yes.
It's an F and a G. So it went there, and then it moved to that, and then it moves to that.
Yes.
So there's nothing happening, and then it's like a lullaby. Like when he's sleeping, suddenly the chords are changing, and the melody is just floating.
Yeah.
And I think that's a beautiful expression of the escape of sleep, right?
Yeah, thank you.
It's a beautiful song. Really, it is. It's,
yes.
It's beautiful.
I just think it needs to be longer.
Yeah.
Okay.
So audience wants more.
Yeah.
But not too much longer.
But you see,
I still think with my two lines longer.
10% you know, longer.
Coming from a punk standpoint, I've always thought a song should be as short as possible. But this one is like, I think it really needs. It deserves to be longer. Because even some of what's that Montreal guy's name? Leonard Cohen.
Yeah.
You know, some of his stuff got kind of long, and it was fine. You know?
I think it's a bit like writing in general, that every, well, depending on the reader or the listener, but every sort of topic has a kind of space that it could be allowed to take up.
Yeah.
But I think you're saying that in a way, like this song, this subject, this particular thought or idea deserves this much in the world. But the writer is not always the best judge of that, because sometimes the listener, like we're saying tonight, the feedback, you see, is like, it's so beautiful, I just want more. I'll go listen to it again, you know, I'll buy your album. Like, every time I hear it, it's like this big hit for Adele, like, you know, Hello, or whatever. They crank the hell out of the chorus because people want more, right?
Yeah.
They don't want a 290 or a 245 song. They want a 345 or a 405 song.
Yeah,
I don't know what it
especially
is.
Especially slow, but yeah.
But yeah, you've got a strong song there anyway.
It's an interesting question, and I think that is, you know, we were talking about, you know, if you get stuck with a song that, you know, you just leave it and maybe don't go there. But sometimes you need to work on a song because it does need a bigger place in the world, and you do have to work. I mean, sometimes, you know, going least resistance means you just sort of go, oh, well, the song will only be 2 minutes. And actually, you know, the song will be good at 2 minutes, but it might be fantastic at 3.5.
Yeah.
And you also, you're open to feedback, right?
Yes, of course.
He came to the songwriters roundtable.
Yeah.
And somebody suggested the title for that song, didn't they?
Yes, someone.
That was me.
When
I Sleep.
It was a very good title. But I'll say something interesting about the, I don't know if it's interesting, but about the lengths of songs. I'm working on another album of mine of electronic dance music. And you think electronic dance music has these like big, long build-ups and this and that and the other. But because, by and large, I'm writing lyrics first, I'm finding that I get in, like, there's a lot of words, right? And it's like two verses, two choruses, a bridge, and I'm done in like 3 minutes, under 3 minutes. I've written three of these things so far, and they're all really, really short. And I just came to that realization the other day, and I was like, this is...
Where's the instrumental? Are there instrumental breaks?
There are instrumental breaks, too, but I managed to drill through it in 3 minutes. I don't know how else.
Just move the tempo down. dance.
It's not dance music anymore.
What is so neat about dance music is that they have all these camps, and they're all dictated by tempo.
Yeah.
So you have a tempo that's like I think it's like 140. It's called drum and bass, and then you know, it's called dubstep at like 130, and it's very specific.
I'm not paying attention to any of that.
Yeah.
Well, we did that track for me, and I said I want a 142. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
For those listening who don't know what we're talking about, it's beats per minute. So dance music is generally at least 60 beats per minute.
120.
Oh, 120.
Well, at least 120. Yeah. Sorry, 120. And that, so...
That's considered walking for some reason.
I can. But is that about it there?
I think so.
Yeah.
So that's probably just probably it's good 70 for,
it's,
or 75.
It's just enough to build a sweat.
So if you have a metronome or you have some app that can give you a beat, sometimes that's a way to get into a song.
Yeah, you can always download VisiClick.
So yes, where did this, where did the song Lover Overseas, where did that idea come from?
I would prefer to play it and then...
Talk after?
And then, yeah, I want you to guess what the song is about.
Okay.
Because it's, I think it's pretty, not pretty obvious, but it's a little bit obvious.
It's ambiguous, too.
Yeah, it's so, ambiguous, yeah. But, okay.
For those of you wondering what 120 sounds like, it sounds like this.
But louder.
Yes. One.
Three, four, one, two, three, four. That's 120.
That's 120.
Okay. All right. Well, let's hear this song that is called Lover Overseas.
I can't stand it anymore in here, so I'm leaving for a year. Now I'm 3,748 miles away from you. It was hard to make it through till I saw him on a foggy night. He was tall and oh so bright. Makes me wonder if I'll ever go back. I don't know, time will tell, then we'll see. If I love my new love more than I love my lover overseas, I don't know, time will tell, then we'll see. If I love my new love more than I love my lover overseas, I don't know. Sometimes when I wake up, I miss her owner's warm smile. It feels so tempting to change my mind if only I could. Fuse them together, I would take her messy ways on his finer taste. I am waiting for a sign, for an answer in the sky. Oh, is there even a way to make this right? I don't know, time will tell, then we'll see. If I love my new love more than I love my lover overseas, I don't know, time will tell, then we'll see. If I love my new love more than I love my lover overseas, I don't know.
All right.
Wow.
Surprise ending again. Dunk. All right. Well, let's start with Phil.
What
do you think?
What a, yeah, that's a great tune. I love the, I don't know, time will tell, then we'll see if I love my new love more than I love my lover overseas.
Of course.
That is such a brilliant
thank you.
Playing around with words. It's, I just, yeah, it was great. What I thought was really interesting, especially people who approach English as a second language, you sort of look at words in kind of a sort of a different way than a native English speaker does. And that's what's actually so great about it, because just I'm very busy here today. I've got like, I have papers all over the place and clocks. I'm very confused. When I walked out the door saying I can't stand here anymore, so I'm leaving for a year. It's just, you know, it's sort of unusual, like, but it's... Yeah,
it's very specific.
It's very specific, but it's really cool. Yeah. And I also love the way you hit 3748.
Yeah.
You know, that was a really interesting...
3748. He broke it. Nobody
spelled it out.
3,048. 700. Break, and 48 yeah. miles away. It was like,
it was
wait
so
for it.
Great.
That was great.
Yeah. And also, and it's interesting because I actually have an earlier version of your lyrics, which just have dotted lines for this for the verse that you just added. And but you had this little sort of musical break just before you came back, just at the end of that, which is really cool. But what was that? That little sort of guitar that's like sort of like. Yeah, that was that was so neat tasty. And tasty.
It's just first, third, fifth, and the octave.
Yeah, just arpeggio.
Yeah. it was so neat. Just a great end. Just a and the chorus is just such a brilliant bunch of words. You know, if I love my new love more than I love my lover overseas.
I like the melody bounces along. I don't know. Yeah. Time will tell. It's a bit like one of
those
old...
It's like a bar song.
It was in 6/8, so it's got that...
It's
got that swing.
We got to start doing more 6/8.
You know, you can just see the beer mugs going.
Yeah.
But what do you think it was about, Neil?
Obviously it's about a lover finding somebody else and then kind of having second thoughts about that. The him and the her thing is a little...
It's ambiguous.
It's a little different.
I think it's about... I think the her is Spain and the him is
Canada. Yeah, that's the other thought I had, is that maybe it's not a person. It. Maybe it's referring to something else.
Yeah, the her
it's
is Madrid.
It's not a bisexual man.
No, it's Madrid and Toronto.
Yeah. Madrid and Toronto.
Yeah. So Toronto is like a man to you.
Yeah, because in Spain, words that end with O are masculine.
Oh.
We have gender in but when you say city in Spanish is feminine, the noun city is feminine. Right. But Toronto can't be.
So how would you
feminine.
Say Madrid in la villa de
la ciudad de Madrid?
La ciudad.
Ciudad, yeah, city.
City. Oh, ciudad. Okay.
So it's so English. So English. It's so interesting.
Yeah.
That you know a language actually has words that are feminine.
Well,
and
French
masculine.
Does, too.
Yeah, French,
romantic languages in particular.
But English doesn't have any.
English doesn't
have any. God, because, you know, I'm taking French right now, and I say, La Mer? Yes, that's right. It's not La Mer. You got that one. But then I get the next six
okay,
wrong.
Okay, I want to switch.
Let's go back to the song.
Yeah, I want to switch subjects for a second here. How many chords are in this song, do you know? At least...
I would say six. It's this one.
You got a standard progression, a rock progression there.
Dun, it's just... Dun, 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 yeah,
yeah, but there's some great bluesy chords in there, though.
It's always playing with the first, fourth, fifth, sixth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But some... Well, the... Yeah, sometimes it has... Well, it has a lot of seconds, and it has the third, which is minor, but it also has the major third.
Yes.
Like the first repeat of a chorus... It goes third minor, fourth major, and the second one goes third major, four major.
Oh,
right. So it's a little bit different. I mean, there's a beautiful contour on the chord sequence, right? So, I mean, I just want to comment, and I'm glad you actually spelled out, you know, what chords you were using and what were major and what were minor. Because that's part of what gives this song its strength, is that it the movement of the song isn't just the 6/8 thing. It isn't just the lyric driving along. It's the chord pattern as well that moves along.
It always relies on ending almost every part with a root chord, or if not with a fifth, which would end in a
every section does end quite resolved.
Yeah.
Right. But along the way, you kind of take some detours and come back. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is just great.
Yeah. No, it's a great, great song. I also liked how in the middle you kind of, you almost got a bit Elvis-y there.
Elvis,
not really low.
Yeah.
Feel so tempted to change.
Yeah.
Well, it's you. What you're doing to me is you're having fun with this tune. You're having fun, right?
Yeah.
Now, whether people will get that it's Madrid and Toronto doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it
it's a
really
good song.
Right?
Yeah. Because I didn't get that. Actually, I thought it was just about people. But.
Well, the one thing that kind of, I mean, so when you left Madrid, did you literally say, "I can't stand it anymore in here"?
No, I didn't. I didn't say it. No, but it's actually about me, because when I'm leaving for a year, it's my visa. It's just for a year, so I know it has to be a year.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I think that line kind of throws me off, because it really sounds like a breakup. I can't stand it anymore in here. It really sounds like you're severing ties. You're going to, you know, and then you're right, immediately after that, you say you're coming, leaving for a year.
I was a bit tired of my city, but now I miss it.
Yeah,
right.
But yeah, so it's
That was sincere. Right? You felt I can't stay anymore. I'm not going to be able to grow as a. I mean, you know, you're getting on now, right? What are you, 22?
Ah, yeah, 22.
Yeah, 22, right. So you're getting on in life.
Yeah.
You can't just sit around Madrid for your whole 20s.
Yeah, I mean, so why would you want to be in a place which is nice and warm and...
No, it's awful. Yeah.
It's terrible,
imagine,
you know?
The sunshine.
There's like no slush there, I bet, you know?
But Toronto's a very exciting place for music and everything. Right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
lots of open mics and stuff.
I guess we have to wrap up pretty soon. How are we doing there, Neil? I think it's just about time.
We just have a few minutes left.
So let's talk about where people can hear your music. You're on SoundCloud, on your own SoundCloud station, or what it's called?
Huh? Yes, it is called Danny, like D-A-N-I-C, just a C. And that's
C, Danik.
Yeah. Danny and then C, dot, which is the first letter of my last name.
Yeah, and then at, or is it at, no, just Danik.
Yeah,
so
I think
it's actually Danik.
I think it's just that.
Yeah, okay. SoundCloud. Cool. So you can listen to some of his tunes there. And
yeah, and we'll have all that information
on the show notes
along with all the lyrics to your songs as well. People can follow along.
Okay, thank you so much.
And so we're just going to wrap up now, because we've got a few announcements to make here. Why am I sounding like that all of a sudden?
Oh, I don't know.
And I'm missing it. And I guess we're missing our technician tonight, a lovely Irish lass from... a volunteer here. She's working, I think, now.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, that's about all the time we have on Song Talk Radio. Bruce, Neil, and Phil, thank you very much to our special guests all the way from Madrid. And, well, he's here for a year. Daniel Cedres.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Beautiful songs. Keep writing.
Okay.
And coming up on Song Talk Radio, you're probably wondering, next week, Tuesday, February 2nd, is Scott B.,
Sympathy
on
there? Brilliant. He's so good.
Scott B., Toronto artist. Scott B. Sympathy. And February 9th, we're having Alon Rodovinsky back with his friend Ivan, and they're doing film music. Is that right?
That's right.
They're doing orchestral stuff they do in the computer. Listen to it. It's great. February 9th. And then February 16th, we have the lovely, extremely talented Janice Ho.
Oh, boy.
Oh, she is great.
Do I have to tweet
I
then,
saw
too?
Her. I heard saw her live at Free Times. She was awesome.
Oh,
she had her own set there. Our next Songwriters Roundtable, by the way, which is where Daniel found us, it's a meetup. It's Thursday, February the 18th from 7 to 10 at the Transact Club on Brunswick, just south of Bloor Street West. Get off at the Bathurst or Spadina subway stations, bring a song, and join us. We'd like to thank CJRU, the Scope at Ryerson, for supporting us. And most of all, we'd like to thank you, the listener. And please let us know what you think at feedback@songtalk.ca, on Twitter @songtalkradio, or #songtalk on Facebook and YouTube. We're at songtalkradio. Sounds redundant. And please stop by the website at songtalk.ca and find out how you can be a guest on our show. You can follow Phil on...
@FocusCreative on Twitter.
Twitter. Neil, you're on...
on Twitter @MondoArt.
Mondo Art.
And, of course, Janice @JaniceHoTweets.
Janice Ho tweets. She does, and I don't, and Daniel doesn't. So,
well, Daniel doesn't tweet?
No, he's non-tweeter yet. He's, I don't know.
Soon.
Soon. Yeah, soon.
So that's all the time we have tonight. Thank you very much. Keep writing songs. Come back again soon. Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night.